My bad. I have to really apologize. I traveled early this morning. I was running back to be sure that we do a class today. I came back not too long ago, very tired. Tried to take 10, 15, 20 minutes of rest, and then we tried to come here. Alhamdulillah that we could meet it up. In the last class, we were discussing Surah Al-Fatiha and the importance of the significance of reciting Surah Al-Fatiha in Salah. And then we gave off regarding it about three narrations. The essentially divided into two. The report of Ubaid ibn Samit. In it he said, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La salata liman lam yaqra bi fatihatil kitabi fiha. The one, La salat. No salah at all exists, no matter the type of salah. لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب فيها. لمن, for anybody. لا صلاة, no form of salah, whether nawafil, whether fara'id, any of the kinds of salah. لمن, for anyone, whether imam, whether ma'mum, whether munfarid. The salah does not occur, does it not valid. Then we mentioned the riwayah of Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad of the same hadith when he said, La tuqbalu salatun. No salah will be accepted. La yukra'u fiha bi ummi al-Qur'an. In which ummul Qur'an is not recited. La tuqbal salatun. Any salah in which ummul Qur'an is not recited. La tuqbal. Ubaidah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu said, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that such a salah will not be accepted. And we mentioned the view of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, that in Sahih Al-Bukhari, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari said that this is, he placed the hadith of Ubaidah on the, there is a reason I'm revising this. There is a reason I'm going back to this. It will be clear to us very soon, inshallah. We want to mention the proof of those amongst the ulama who say if we pray behind the imam and the imam is reading aloud, like in Salatul Fajr, in Salatul Maghrib, and in Salatul Isha, we should not recite anything at all, including Al-Fatiha. We mentioned in the last class that this view is wrong, that the others amongst the ulama say that it is wrong. That what is correct is that everybody should recite Surah Al-Fatiha. The Imam should recite Surah Al-Fatiha. The Ma'mum should recite Surah Al-Fatiha. But in the Salah wherein the recitation is made aloud, in the Jahriyat, the Ma'mum should only recite Surah Al-Fatiha. وَيَنْفِتُ, and then he will keep quiet when the imam is reciting any other part of the Quran, for the salah in which the recitation is allowed, like Al-Fajr, like Al-Maghrib, and like Salatul Isha. We mentioned this in the last class. And that for salah like Salatul Asr and Salatul Zuhur, the individual will recite Surah Al-Fatiha and then another surah in that salah. But for the salah in which we read aloud, everybody must recite Surah Al-Fatiha, as away from the view that the imam alone should recite Surah Al-Fatiha while the rest of us should do what? Listen to him, both Al-Fatiha and Surah. We say that this opinion is a wrong of the two opinions. The stronger view is that everybody must recite Surah Al-Fatiha, but that will only be silent when the imam is reading any other surah in the salah where we recite Allah. You can now ask, what will it do to us that we know the proof of those who say we should not read Surah Al-Fatiha at all when the imam is reciting the salah aloud and we are praying behind the imam? If someone is praying Salah Al-Fajr and the imam is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, some amongst the ulama say, don't recite anything, just keep quiet, be listening to the imam. We say this statement is wrong. That what is correct amongst the statements of the ulama is that we should recite Suratul Fatiha. Where we should be silent is when the imam starts to read another surah for Fajr, for Maghrib, and for Salatul Isha. So you can ask, so why do we need to know? Let's continue. We don't need to know the proof. Two things it will do to us. The first thing is that when you know what affirms what you do, and then you know what against it, what supposedly goes against it, but it is not correct that it is against it, it gives you a greater conviction over what you are doing. It gives you a greater you are more convinced that what I'm doing now is correct. And we need that in Salah. And in every aspect of Iman and worship, we always have to be sure that what I'm doing now is correct. It is part of Iman and in Ibadat. He says, Man sama Ramadan, Imanan wahtisaba. Imanan, that is believing that Allah has ordained me to fast. This thing is in every Salah, it's in every act of worship. When you perform any act of worship, the Muslim should have it in his mind that what I'm doing now is what? This is what Allah has told me to do. This certainty will increase when you know the second view. The second advantage of knowing a second view is that we're in a cross-pollinated world, so to speak. Everybody is talking to anybody. Somebody may ask you, Afa, if I read Suratul Fatiha in Salatul Fajr while I'm praying behind the Imam, is it correct? And you say, no, it is not correct. Or you say, yes, it is correct. Wouldn't the person ask you, can you provide me some proof? When you provide the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tuqbalu salatun, no salah will be accepted, Lam yukra'u fiha bi ummil Qur'an, such that Suratul Fatiha has not been recited in it. It will not be accepted. Then he starts telling you, didn't Allah say, Wa idha quri al Qur'an fa amsitu? How do you respond? So two advantages of knowing the second view. And then it will make you understand the objectivity. If you know that the second view, this is what they have said, you can go back and read more. You may not necessarily take what I have said. It will give you an independence. You will be certain. It is not because someone said that this is what is correct. You would have some level of conviction that I think this is correct. No, sir. May Allah protect us. So these are the reasons. It's not that, oh, the dance is long. No, let it be long. That is the way of the early Muslims, little by little. But it will be increasing the individual in his conviction. His actions will be different from the actions of other people because he knows what they don't know. And then you will not be quarreling with somebody. Somebody is fighting you. You must not recite Suratul Fatiha behind you if I'm Imam. He holds the first opinion. You know why he's saying what he is saying. If he gives you an opportunity, you will convince him. You are always stronger when you know a second opinion. You are stronger because you know why the other man is doing what he is doing. In any discussion, you are ready for him. This is the truly knowledgeable individual about what he is doing. And this is required of us, every Muslim. When we make worship, we must know, like Yoruba will say, Sifu Tedo, Atikiloku, Ijotetanshe. We must know it. I hope that Yoruba that I spoke is correct. So, Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tuqbalu salatun, no salah will be accepted. La yuqra'u fiha bi ummi al-Qur'an, in which the ummi al-Qur'an has not been read, or would not be read, that salah is not accepted. And we mentioned that al-Imam al-Bukhari, so that it's not saying, in fact, Imam al-Bukhari did that long ago. And long before him, ulama have been doing so. Al-Imam al-Bukhari placed this hadith under Babu Wujud al-Qira'ati lil-Imami wal-Ma'mun, the chapter under the obligation, the mandation that the Imam and the Ma'mun should recite Suratul Fatiha. Fis salawat kulliha, in all the salawat, in their entirety, fil hadari wa safari, whether the individual is at home or on a journey, wa ma yujharu fiha, whether in that salah the recitation is allowed, wa ma yukhafatu, or The recitation is silent. The Imam Bukhari said, in all the salawats, kulliha, we must recite, everybody, Al-Imam al-Ma'mum must recite Surah Al-Fatih. We line up behind Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Somebody may ask, what you are saying now? Who amongst the early Muslims has that opinion? What do you say? Bukhari. Because some of the eminent scholars have a different opinion. So somebody may harass us. This is what Sheikh Al-Albani said. Imam Bukhari said the other way. That is a way of certainly blind following. So once someone comes from the aspect of blind following, you come from the aspect of blind following to respect, to refuse blind following. Is it Al-Albani, rahimahullah? Bukhari says otherwise, rahimahullah. So what do we do? You see that the matter will go back to coming back to the proof of both sides. In a similar hadith, Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu was the Imam of Palestine. The first Imam. We mentioned that he was one of those who memorized Quran in the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And he was sent to teach the people Quran and fiqh and sunnah. So once he delayed before coming to the masjid, and his muazzin, what was his name? Abu Nu'aym. Abu Nu'aym, the muazzin of Ubadah ibn Samit, stood up to lead the people in salah. He made the iqamah, he started leading the people in salah. Nafi, one of the students of Ubadah ibn Samit, who reported this hadith, said, myself and Ubadah went to the masjid to join the salah of who? Abu Nu'aym. That salah was salatul fajr. If we remember that hadith, we read it in the last class. So Nafi said, when Ubadah ibn Samit joined the salah, he was reciting Ummul Quran. Says after the salah, he was reciting Surah Al-Fatiha behind the Imam in Salat Al-Fajr. Radiallahu anhu, Ubadah. He was a learned person. He reported this hadith from the Prophet. This event occurred far after the Prophet Muhammad had passed away. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He was reciting behind the Imam. And when he was asked, why are you reciting behind the Imam? When the Imam was reciting aloud, you are reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Why are you doing what you are doing? He says, Ajami. Be'anani. Be'analabini, so to speak. That is the correct thing to do, rightly. I'm doing what I'm doing, rightly. He now wanted to give an evidence for what he did. Ubadah. Radiallahu anhu. So he read the hadith to who? Nafi. And perhaps other members of the masjid, because he was the Imam. So when he wanted to speak, everybody would listen to him, radiallahu anhu. He said, Kunna khalfa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi salatul fajr. We read this hadith. You will understand why we are reading it again. We were behind the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam on the salatul fajr. Faqara'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting. Qara'a, he was reciting. What was he reciting? It could be he was reciting Surah Al-Fatiha and what? A Surah. It could be Fatiha alone. It could be Surah alone. But he was reciting while he was on that salah. During his recitation on that salah, فَفَقُلَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْقِرَاءَ The reading, the recital, became difficult for him. The Qur'an, because that is the lexical meaning of that word, Al-Qur'an. Al-Qur'an means what? Al-Qira'a. So the recitation of Qur'an became taqula, heavy on his tongue. Alayhi salatu wa salam. And then the Prophet lamma faraga qala. When the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam ended the salah, he said, La'allakum takra'una khalfa imamikum qira'a. Perhaps you are reciting behind your imam. Kulna na'am. Hazza. We said yes, O Messenger of Allah. Hazza. You were quickly following as you were reading. As you were reading, we were doing not. Please, we were reading. Hazza. We were following you with your recital. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah. Qala. The Prophet said to them, La taf'alu. Another way of saying this, La taf'alu. La taqra'u. Don't read anything. The point I'm making, emphasizing kira'a, this word, when they use it, kira'a, generally speaking, it will include what? Both surah al-Fatiha and what? Another surah that is read after it. It says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَقْرَؤُونَ خَلْفَ إِمَامِكُمْ. You are reciting behind your imam. This hadith is evidence that when that word al-qira'a is mentioned in these narrations, it involves both Fatiha and the surah. In that sense, that expression is general. It is not specific. It is not specific. And the text of specificity will be understood. The text of generality will be understood in the text of what? Specificity. A text that specifies a thing, that clarifies a thing, is the text that we will use to understand a matter in which the text may mean this or mean that. So he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, la taf'alu, la taqra'u, in another language. Don't recite anything, illa bi fatihatil kitab. It means, la taqra'u, fatiha is amongst it. Don't read anything, don't read. Illa. And then he exempted al-fatiha from what should not be read. La taqra'u illa bi fatihatil kitab. Do not read anything except fatihatil kitab. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he says, فَإِنَّهُ لَا صَلَاةَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَأْ بِهَا. Because anyone who has not read Surah Al-Fatiha, صَلَاةَ لَهُ. There is no salah for him. Meaning that when they say kira'a regarding salawat, it could mean Fatiha, it could mean what? Another surah. But he allowed them and compelled them that they must recite Al-Fatiha, while he was prohibiting them from reciting what? Any other surah. Meanwhile, this salah was this kind of salah, salatul jahriya, the salah in which the kira'a is made allowed. And that was what Ubadah did too after the Prophet Muhammad, by way of following that sunnah. It is difficult to say that it is mansukh. That's where I'm coming from first. Let me steal the show. It's difficult to say that it is abrogated. The companion who reported it was using the same event to give evidence for his own action after the Prophet Muhammad. So the ruling is continuous. The hadith is not scam. It is not mansukh. The ruling still exists. It is not abrogated. That was the second hadith about Ubadah ibn Sabit. And when we read it, it is possible to say, so who deduced the ruling? Al-Imam al-Qasabi. That hadith was verified as suitable for evidence by Imam al-Tirmidhi, Al-Imam Daruqutni, Imam Bayhaqi, Imam al-Qasabi and others. The hadith we just read now is according to Sunan Abi Dawud. After it, Al-Imam al-Qasabi said, هذا الحديث, this hadith of Ubadah we just read, نفسٌ is a clear-cut text. بأن كراءة فاتحة الكتاب, that the recitation of Surah al-Fatiha واجبة على من صلى خلف الإمام, is obligatory on whoever that performs the salah behind the imam. سواء جهر الإمام بالكراءة, whether that imam was making his recital aloud أو خافت بها, or the imam was silent, low in the recital. It says, why isnad hu jayyid? I say the isnad, the chain of report is what? It's sound. So this is evidence that even in the salah where you read aloud, Fajr, Maghrib, Isha, the individual is still mandated to do what? To recite Surah Al-Fatiha. We said all of these in the last class. The third hadith we read was that of Abu Huraira. So two from who? Ubadah ibn Sabit. One from Abu Huraira, but two also. Two from Ubadah, two from Abu Huraira. But we connect that of Abu Huraira. So we have two narrations from Ubadah ibn Sabit. We have one report from Abu Huraira. Radiallahu anhu. He says, Man salla salatan. He reported from the Prophet alayhi salatu. Man salla salatan. لَمْ يَقْرَأْ فِيهَا بِأُمِّ الْقُرْآنِ. Whoever performs any salah, anyone, man, anybody, salah salatan, who prays any prayer, who observes or performs any salah. لَمْ يَقْرَأْ فِيهَا بِأُمِّ الْقُرْآنِ. And he did not recite Surah Al-Fatiha in that salah. فَهِيَ خِدَاجٌ غَيْرُ تَمَامٍ.
Abu Huraira said, that's the life. He died. The efficient, the messenger said to alayhi salam, he died. That's the life deficient. Ghayru tamam, incomplete, without reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Abu Sa'id, the one who reported from Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, he says, كيف أصنعه إذا كنت مع الإمام وهو يجهر? What would I do if I'm praying behind the Imam? وهو يجهر, and in the this war is lilhal. I'm praying behind that Imam in the circumstance that Imam يجهر بالقراءة, is reciting aloud. Abu Sa'id said, Rahimahullah, he says, فَجَمَزَ الزِّرَاءِ, Abu Huraira grabbed my arm. And then he says, وَيْلَكَ يَا فَارِ, يَا فَارِ سِي, he says, what are you, O Fari? Imam from Persia, Fari سِي, وَيْلَكَ, woe be to you, this man from Persia. And then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, اِقْرَعْ بِهَا فِي نَفْسِكَ, reciting silently. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he grabbed him up, wait, recite it silently. This thing happened after the Prophet Muhammad, and it was reported by who? Abu Huraira. Don't forget, we are coming back to it. Ubadah ibn Samit, who reported it, was giving the same fatwa. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is also giving the same fatwa. This was one hadith. And then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu sought to give the man another hadith to prove that the man was reciting behind the Imam while the Imam is reciting aloud. He says, فَإِنِّي سَمِيتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ, because I heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that قال الله تعالى, that Allah said, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ, I have divided this salah between myself and my servant into two halves. Ulama say Surah Al-Fatiha. Abu Huraira is using this as evidence that if you are praying behind the Imam, you must also recite Surah Al-Fatiha. I always say, if a person reads a hadith to you, check the hadith. What is Mahalu Shahid? Why was Abu Huraira saying that the Prophet's statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عِبَادِي نِصْفَيْنِ, I have divided the salah between myself and my servant, Abdi. This is mufradun mudaf. That is all my servants. Whether that my servant is the Imam, or that my servant is what? Ma'mum. قَسَمْتُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي, between myself and my servant. Whether that servant is praying behind an Imam, or whether the servant is a ma'mum. That is what makes an evidence in that hadith that Abu Huraira quoted for Abu As-Sa'id. To prove what? To prove that if you are praying behind the Imam, you must recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And then you should be silent after Surah Al-Fatiha. Because we've been talking about the salawat that are allowed, and that is the area of difference. I think we should go ahead, because the next hadith is regarding Salatul Zuhur and Salatul Asr. That when we read in them, we should also recite Suratul Fatiha. The hadith is similar to that of Ubadah ibn Samit that we read at the beginning. I think we should proceed because of time. Now the ulama are divided regarding if the imam is reciting aloud. What should we do? Should we be silent? So ulama say we should be silent. We said that the opinion is proven not to be correct by all these ahadith. That of Ubadah ibn Samit and that of who? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. All of them from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'd like to mention three amongst them. The first of them is a verse of the Quran in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 204. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ, let's try to understand where they bring the evidence from. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ, when the Quran is recited, whether during salah or at fajr. Quri'a. Whenever the Quran is recited, wa idha quri'a. Anytime the Quran is recited, it does not say inside salah. Neither does it also say whether it is outside salah. The first thing we start getting there is that this text is what? General. It says, why is Quri al-Qur'an? When the Qur'an is recited, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ لِسْتِنْكُ وَأَنْسِكُ. Be silent. Listen. And be silent. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show mercy upon you. Or so that you may attain Allah's name. Ulama say this verse does not say that if we pray behind the Imam, we should not read Surah Al-Fatiha. It does not prove so. Because the ulama say this verse, it is nasikhun, it is an abrogating verse. It cancels the ruling of the hadith of Imran, the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, and who? Abu Hurairah. When two rulings, and nafsu is that there's an existing ruling. And then there's a verse or a hadith that comes to change the ruling. I'm sure we are familiar with this, and nafsu. If we want to go into what does nafsu mean, we take our time now. Because we have to start giving us examples. Nafsu, abrogation. There's a ruling. And then a second verse or hadith comes to cancel the ruling. The first one is called mansukh. The second one is called what? Nasikh. Before they were praying facing Masjid al-Aqsa. And then Allah changed it that they should face Masjid al-Haram. That they were facing Masjid al-Aqsa is what? Mansukh. That they are now facing Masjid al-Haram is what? Nasikh. And this kind of thing is referred to as what? An-nafsu. I hope it is clear now. There is an existing ruling. Then later on, another ruling comes and changes the first one. So those who say we should not recite behind the Imam, we should keep quiet. Quata quata. They say this verse abrogates those ahadith. Ulama say this verse does not. They say this ayah, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman al-Mubarakpuri, he says this ayah, he says, Rahimahullah, that wal ayatu, this ayah, makiyatun bi ijma'il mufassirin, by the consensus of the scholars of tafsir, this ayah is what? Makiyah. This verse was revealed in Makkah. So if the verse was revealed in Makkah, we must be able to also determine when did the Prophet say what he said. Do we get this point? If the verse was a Makkiyah verse, and it is the Ijma'il Mufassirin, amongst those who said that, when I read that, I quickly started to check the verse. And Imam al-Baghawi said that in his Ma'alim al-Tanzeel, that wal-Aya Makkiyah, amongst those who said so was al-Imam al-Qurtubi in al-Jami al-Ahkam al-Quran. Amongst those who said it, that the ayah is Makkiyah, was al-Imam Abu al-Muzaffar al-Sam'ani in his Tafsir of Quran. All of them say it is Makkiyah. So I was not surprised again that, okay, he said it that it's been Ijma. He says, the Ijma'il Mufassirin. This ayah was revealed in Makkah. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, he accepted Islam in the 7th year of Hijrah. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu accepted Islam in the 7th year of Hijrah. When he was reporting the hadith that man salla salatan lam yukra'u fiha bi ummi al-kitab fa hiya khidajun ghayru tamam. He said, sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say. He accepted Islam 7th year after Hijrah in Medina. The verse was revealed in Makkah. how can this verse be a nasikhun for a hadith that was, the least time it was mentioned was 70 after Hijrah. Because Abu Huraira said, I heard it. And Abu Huraira had accepted Islam before he came. He had accepted Islam in Yemen before he came with his mother, who had not accepted. So at the time that he heard it, the earliest time Abu Huraira could have heard this hadith was 7 years after Hijrah. And the verse was revealed in Makkah. How can the verse be a nasikh for a hadith that came 7 years after Hadith? It could have come in the 8th or 9th year. I hope that this point is clear. To get it clearer, that Abu Huraira said to me, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is the report of Al-Imam Malik in Muwatta. When Imam Malik reported that hadith of Abu Huraira, he said, Abu Huraira said, I heard that the Prophet said. So if he had heard it from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had actually heard it from the Prophet Muhammad, that verse of the Quran that was revealed in Makkah could not have been the abrogating verse for a hadith that came far, far later. I hope that this matter is clear to us. There is a clearer way. Abu Huraira said, radiyallahu anhu, he said this hadith occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, it also occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. He says, Amarani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Messenger, commanded me, أن أنادي that I should call out أنه that certainly لا صلاة إلا بفاتحة الكتاب. The Prophet told me, Abu Huraira, go and be announcing to the people that لا صلاة إلا بفاتحة الكتاب. Go and be shouting to the people. Announce out. أنادي. Call out. What should I say to them? لا صلاة إلا بفاتحة الكتاب. No salah is valid except when the person recites Surah Al-Fatiha. Don't forget, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا, that they employ as evidence was a verse, the Ijma'il Mufassirin, that was revealed where? In Makkah. This hadith, the earliest time this hadith was said was in the 7th year of Hijrah. Because it was in the 7th year of Hijrah that Abu Huraira came to Medina to meet the Prophet Muhammad. How could he have commanded him? When was he commanding him such that verse will not be the abrogating evidence for what is established in that hadith? And then the fact that even after the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira was still telling the people to recite, it's also further evidence that verse is not an abrogating evidence for that hadith of the Quran. I hope that this point is clear. The second hadith. It is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Before I move forward, I'm not the one who said that verse is not evident. Al-Imam Abu al-Muzaffar al-Sam'ani, in his Tafsir al-Quran, in the fourth volume, page 244, he said, rahimahullah, Abu Muzaffar al-Sam'ani is a fourth century scholar, maybe today, fourth century. He said, rahimahullah, وَلَيْسَ لِمَنْ يَرُدُّ تَرْكَ الْقِرَاءَةِ خَلْفَ الْإِمَامِ لَيْسَ لِمَنْ يَرُدُّ أو لَيْسَ لِمَنْ يَرَى تَرْكَ الْقِرَاءَةِ خَلْفَ الْإِمَامِ. The one who has the opinion that we should not recite behind the imam. لَيْسَ لَهُ مُسْتَدَلٌ فِي الْآيَةِ. He does not have an evidence inside that ayah. Do we get this point? Imam Sam'ani says, the one who wants to tell us to keep quiet when the imam is reciting the Quran, there is no evidence for him in this ayah. And then he cited the hadith of Ubadah ibn Sabit, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. What does it mean? It means that everybody must recite the Quran. But that this ayah is not evidence, Abu Muzaffar al-Sam'ani mentioned. He is just one of those who mentioned it among the scholars of Tafsir. We have mentioned him by way of giving example, not as if after him nobody said it again. So let's leave that verse. It is not evidence that if I'm praying behind the imam in Salat al-Fajr or Salat al-Maghrib or Salat al-Isha, I should not recite Surah al-Fajr. The second hadith is the hadith of Abu Huraira.
radiallahu anhu.
And here we have to be very attentive. He says the major evidence in this matter. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Anna Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insarafa min salatin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ended a prayer. He finished a prayer. Jahara fiha bil qira'ah. In that prayer, the Prophet had read aloud. Let's say he finished Fajr or Maghrib or Isha. He just ended the salah. Faqala. And then the Prophet said alayhi salam, هل قرأ معي منكم أحد آنفا؟ Did anyone read along قرأ قراءة? Don't forget. Did anyone read with me the other time during the salah? هل قرأ معي أحد? This قرأ could mean, did anyone recite Fatiha? Did anyone recite Surah? But we have known what he was preventing them from reading. What was he telling them not to read? Surah. And he was telling them to do what? To recite Al-Fatiha. In the same voice, we say, don't read any other thing except Fatiha. Don't read any other thing except Fatiha. Don't read any other thing except Fatiha. So when he was asking them, who was reading with me? Ikhwa, what was the first thing that would come to mind? He's not talking about Fatiha. He's rather talking about a surah after the Fatiha. So he asked them, Hal qara'a ma'i minkum ahadun anifa hajj? Or did anyone recite behind me the other time? فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ A man said, نَعَمْ أَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Right here I did, O Messenger of Allah. I read as you were reading. The understanding from the rest of the hadith was that after my Fatiha, I was reading a surah. Because he had been telling them not to read surah. In the salah where he read aloud. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inni akun, I have been emphasizing, and I emphasize, Inni akun, I emphasize, Mali unaza'ul Qur'an. Why is it that I am being contested with in the Qira'ah? Why are you contesting the reading with me? The Qira'ah. So they say it means that, why are you contesting the reading of both Suratul Fatiha and the Surah? So when you are now praying, both Suratul Fatiha and the Surah, you should not recite it at all. Do we understand? The first answer to that is that this hadith is general. Because Qira'ah could be referring to Al-Fatiha. Qira'ah could be referring to what? Al-Surah. But in a clear-cut hadith, what he told them was that they should recite Al-Fatiha and they should not recite Surah. And that salah also was a salah in which he read aloud. So when he insists there, and he monika Emma Van Kase, what was he saying? What he had said before is the same ruling that he was emphasizing. This hadith, up to this extent, there is no khilaf that this is what it means. Either the ulama take it to say that it means don't recite anything at all, both Fatiha and Surah. Or that they say that it means you should recite Fatiha and not recite any other Surah. I hope that this hadith is clear. But there is another issue around it. Those who employ this as evidence, they say, فَقَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةً When the Prophet said, مَالِي أُنَازَعُ الْقُرْآنِ Why is it that somebody is contesting the reading of the Quran with me? You say, فَقَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةً Abu Huraira then said, radiallahu anhu, فَانْتَحَ النَّاسِ That is why reporting the hadith. فَانْتَحَ النَّاسِ أَنِ الْكِرَاءَةِ مَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى So people stop أَنِ الْكِرَاءَةِ Again, people start making kira'a with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فِيمَا جَهَرَ فِيهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ In the prayers in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read aloud, فِيمَا جَهَرَ فِيهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالْقِرَاءَةِ حِينَ سَمِعُوا ذَلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ When they hear that, they stop reading. In those prayers in which the Prophet would read aloud. So they say it is qira'ah. So since they say it is qira'ah, it is general. Both Fatiha and Surah should not be read. There's fourth khilaf. The fourth khilaf is that some of the ulama say even that fourth hadith is weak. But let us agree that it is sahih because it is actually sahih. Up to Mali Unaza Ul Quran is sahih. Why is it that somebody is contesting the reading of the Quran with me? But to say Fantahana, people stop reading, that they say it is a statement of who? Abu Huraira. You know, it's like the Prophet prayed with us. Alayhi salatu wa salam. And then after the Quran, the Salah, he said, why is it that people are contesting with me in the recitation of the Quran? And then that Abu Huraira said, radiallahu anhu, this is what they say. That then people stopped reading behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Both the fourth statement from the Prophet himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and even the second one from Abu Huraira, if we accept that it is the statement of Abu Huraira, they are general statements. The Prophet said we should not read what? Both? When you are clarified, don't read Surah. Read Fatiha. So what is he saying here? And Abu Huraira, the same Abu Huraira, who reported this hadith, wherever he went, he was commanding the people to do what? To recite Surah Al-Fatiha behind the Imam. In the Salah that Imam is reading aloud, he said you must read Fatiha. He's the same person who reported this hadith. So if Abu Huraira is saying, radiallahu anhu, then that people stopped reciting behind the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does he mean? What he would mean naturally is that people stopped reciting any other thing, apart from what? Fatiha to Kitab, Jam'an Bayna Hadithain. By way of combining the two sets of hadith, and the action of Abu Huraira, the action of Ubadah ibn Samit. Because don't forget, Nafi, who reported the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, he did not say Ubadah was reciting any other thing apart from Fatiha. And in that hadith, Ubadah said the Prophet told us not to recite anything except what? Al-Fatiha. So if Abu Huraira is saying the Prophet said we should not recite anything, what is he saying? He's saying don't recite anything except what? Al-Fatiha, the same Abu Huraira. Otherwise, there will be tanafud. There will be contradiction. In the same Abu Huraira, the same Prophet, the same Hadith, the same Salah. So the correct understanding of this Hadith is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people that they should not contest the recitation with him, by way of meaning that after their Fatiha, they should do what? They should keep quiet. Just like he said in the Hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, La tafu'alu illa bi Fatiha til Kitab. Don't do anything except you should recite Surah Al-Fatiha. This statement that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, his statements are not contradictory. What he actually means is that, and that the Prophet meant in that hadith, is that the people should stop reciting any other thing behind the Imam after Surah Al-Fatiha. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, in his Sunan, under the Hadith 312, it has a chapter, Babu ma ja'a fi tarki al-qira'ati khalf al-imam, idha jahara al-imam bil-qira'a. The chapter regarding not reciting anything when the Imam is reading aloud. Issues around it, is discussing it here. So after citing this Hadith of Abu Huraira, the fourth Hadith of Abu Huraira that we read, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, Mali unaza'u al-Qur'an. Why is it that you are contesting this Qur'an with me? After stating this hadith in his Sunan, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi says, وَلَيْسَ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ مَا يَدْخُلُ عَلَى مَنْ رَأَى كِرَاءَةَ الْقُرْآنِ خَلْفَ الْإِمَامِ. لَيْسَ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. This hadith you are quoting, it says, لَيْسَ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. It does not contain ما يدخل على من رأى القراءة خلف الإمام. It does not contain evidence against those who say that we should make the recitation after Imam. This hadith of Abu Huraira is not evidence to say that they should not recite anything else. Imam al-Tirmidhi said so. Before him, we said that's the position of his teacher, Imam al-Bukhari. He said this hadith is not evident. لِأَنَّ أَبَا هُرَيْرَى. Because the same Abu Huraira, هُوَ الَّذِي رَوَى عَلِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. It is the same Abu Huraira that reported this hadith. وَرَوَى أَبُو هُرَيْرَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ. The same Abu Huraira reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, مَنْ صَلَّى صَلَاةً لَمْ يَقْرَ فِيهَا بِأُمِّ الْقُرْآنِ فَهِيَ خِدَاجٌ غَيْرُ تَمَامٍ. The same Abu Huraira who reported that hadith is the same Abu Huraira who said anybody who did not recite Surah Al-Fatiha in Salah, the Salah is incomplete. فَقَالَ لَهُ حَامِلُ الْحَدِيثِ. The one who was listening to the hadith, what is his name? Abu Sa'id. He was asking Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Anni akunu ahyanan wara al-imam. Sometimes I will be behind the imam in the report that we read to us. Wa huwa yajharu bil kira'a was there. Abu Sa'id in his question was saying, Abu Huraira, sometimes if I'm praying behind the imam may be reading aloud. The same Abu Huraira said, Iqra biha fi nafsik. Recite Surah Al-Fatiha to yourself. وروى أبو عثمان النهدي. Abu Uthman al-Nahdi was a tabi. He reported from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه أنه قال, that Abu Huraira said رضي الله عنه أمرني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded me, أن أنادي, that I should go and announce to the people أن لا صلاة إلا بقراءة فاتحة الكتاب, that there is no valid salah except the individual recites Surah Al-Fatiha. Do we get this argument of Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi? He is saying that this hadith cannot be evidence to say don't recite Fatiha behind the imam. Because the same Abu Huraira who reported it is the same person who said that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the salah will not be complete until Surah Al-Fatiha is recited. So when he says, Mali Unaza Al-Quran, why is it that the Quran is being contested with me? It does not mean that we should not recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Who made this statement? Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi. Before him, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari had said so. And others after them, many. So this hadith is not evidence. Jam'an bayn al-adillah. Fortunately, this explanation by Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi was also given by Al-Latin al-Da'i. The same explanation was given by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. We are talking about people of our time. Because if you want to say now, some of our brothers will say no. Somebody says opposite. Why are you saying this? There are others who said another thing now. The person you are quoting, is he the only scholar in the world? The one who does not make mistake is the Prophet Muhammad. After him, anybody is subject to error. So if they say, oh, one scholar said, there are others who said other than that. One of the ulama in this in our time said, this hadith is evidence that we should not leave anything behind. I'm saying, there are in our time too, those like him, like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, who said, no, that explanation is wrong. Before them, long ago, people have said it. When an opinion is given, be objective enough to look at the evidences around it. Even if you want to make the plea, you want to do blind following of a more learned scholar over the other. That is the ruling of blind following. You don't know the idea, you don't know anything, you don't know how, you don't understand anything. May Allah protect us from being in this kind of condition. A man who has a brain that he cannot understand anything, it is read to him, explained to him, you still say that, Kumayemi, may Allah protect us. Look for one of those two amongst the scholars. Which one do you think is more knowledgeable? This one? Follow him. Look for the one that like, there are more amongst the knowledgeable around here. Let me follow this one. But for the discerning individual who has some basic understanding of issues of knowledge, you must follow the one that appears stronger amongst the two of you. So if, for example, Sheikh Al-Albani says, this hadith of Abu Huraira is evidence that don't read anything at all behind the imam. If you are praying Salatul Fajr, the imam is reciting Fatiha and Surah. Don't read anything because of this hadith. And then we say, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen say, no, this hadith is not evidence so that we should not recite any other thing. So what do you do? Sheikh Al-Albani says this. Sheikh ibn al-Uthaymeen said that. Sheikh Abdul Razak Afifi said this. Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz said this. All that mentioned Da'ima. This is being their fatwa all the time. That this hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu does not mean that we should not recite after the imam. And they give evidence with the rest of the scholars that have come before. So what will be good for us is to be objective. Whoever you will quote amongst the ulama is also beloved to us. Lakin al-haqqu al-ahabbu ilayna. The truth is more beloved to us. As an individual, I had never taken this opinion. As a person, from time that people we have been reading Sifat Salat al-Nabi, I have never been happy to say that behind the imam in Salat al-Jahriya, we should keep silent. I'd never taken that opinion. I'd always been referring to Imam al-Shawkani in Nailul Awtar because he was amongst those who refuted that opinion, that explanation is wrong. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تفعلوا إلا بفاتحة الكتاب. Don't read anything behind the imam when he's reading aloud except Surah Al-Fatiha. And Abu Huraira is insisting, radiallahu anhu, on it. Ubadah ibn Samit was insisting on it. And they were the two reporters of the same hadith. Their fatwa is not contradicting their report. And you want me to take any other opinion after this one? Until we meet with Allah on the day of Qiyamah, I will not leave that opinion. Unless you bring something else. But based on what is on the ground now, that's why I mentioned at the beginning, it's not a problem. It's not an issue of a problem. I will only say what I have seen and what I believe. If I don't convince you, alhamdulillah, but I tell what I believe. Based on evidence. This is what we have heard. But it's not an issue to quarrel about. Understand what I mean. Let me understand what you mean. We will understand ourselves and there will be no trouble. If you are praying Salatul Fajr, Salatul Maghrib, Salatul Isha behind the Imam, when the Imam is reading Suratul Fatiha, read your own Suratul Fatiha. When he starts reading any other thing after Suratul Fatiha, listen, you would have walked with the two hadiths. However, that statement that when the Prophet said, Mali unaza ul Quran, why is it that people are contesting the Quran with me? We said it is a statement of Abu Huraira. It is not Sahih that it is a statement of Abu Huraira. It is not authentic that it is a statement of Abu Huraira. Al Imam al Bukhari, rahimahullah, was before that, the explanation of Al Imam al Tirmidhi that we gave. That was also the explanation of Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Zubayr al-Humayn. That's also the explanation of Al-Imam al-Hazimi in his book, Al-Nafiq wal-Mansuq fil Athar. Al-Nafiq wal-Mansuq fil Athar. The same hadith of Abu Huraira is not Mansuq for the first hadith. That is, cannot abrogate that first hadith. So it's not a new thing here. Some people say, That statement to say that people stopped reading it was not a statement of Abu Huraira. Radiallahu anhu. Amongst those who said so was Al-Imam Al-Hasan al-Sabbah, one of the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Al-Imam Bukhari said, my teacher Al-Hasan al-Sabbah has explained this hadith to me. That to say that people stop reciting surah to any surah or qira'ah behind the imam because of this statement. It's a statement of Zuhri, Muhammad ibn Muslim Zuhri ibn Shihab ibn Zuhri, and it is not a statement of who? Abu Huraira. We will come back to the implication of this statement. Amongst those who said so was Al-Imam Sabbah, Al-Hasan al-Sabbah, is a teacher of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. And then Al-Imam al-Bukhari. And then the student of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahumullah. They all say that it is not a statement of who? Abu Huraira. They say it is a statement of who? Az-Zuhri. Amongst those who said so, A'lamu al-Nas bi ahadith al-Zuhri. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Zuhri. This Imam, he was a colleague in the time of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. As Al-Imam al-Bukhari is popular with Sahih al-Bukhari, he is popular with one book. Ulama refer to the book as what? As Zuhriyat. the report of Al-Imam Zuhri, that they say is the one who made that statement, not Abu Huraira. Al-Imam Zuhri has a lot of reports. This one didn't bother himself. He just sat down, collect all the hadith of Al-Imam Zuhri. He became popular with his Zuhriya. That was the only book he wrote, according to some of the ulama. This Imam, Muhammad ibn Yahya, he said that that statement is not a statement of Abu Huraira. It is a statement of who? Az-Zuhri. The specialist in the statement of Az-Zuhri, he said this statement is not of who? Abu Huraira. It is a statement of Zuhri. The greatest authority, all the time ulama refer to him. They say, A'lamunna bi ahadithi Zuhri. This A'lamunna bi ahadithi Zuhri, he said that this statement is a statement of who? Az-Zuhri. Rahimahullah. Aside from him, Al-Imam Abu Dawud, the author of Sunan Abi Dawud, he also said that that statement is not the statement of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Likewise, Al-Imam Ibn Hibban, who wrote Sahih Ibn Hibban. Likewise, Al-Imam Ya'qub Ibn Sulaiman, Al-Imam Al-Fatawi, he also said, no, that statement is not the statement of Abu Huraira. Likewise, Al-Imam Al-Khattabi, Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi, الإمام الخطيب البغدادي، الإمام ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله، الإمام ابن الملكي وغيرهم كثير. You know why I'm mentioning all of them? Because الإمام الألباني رحمه الله in صفة الصلاة النبي he insists that this statement is a statement of Abu Huraira. All those that I have counted said opposite. And they are closer to be accepted and depended on in this second. If this gathering were a gathering that we had more time than this, we would have gone further down. Why is it that they are the ones whose statements are correct? But let me give a brief description. All those who reported this hadith from Al-Imam Zuhri, there were eight that I saw. From amongst them, Al-Imam Layth ibn Sa'd. From amongst them, Al-Imam Al-Awza'i Abdul Rahman Al-Awza'i. From amongst them, Al-Imam Yunus Ibn Yazid Al-Ayn. These are great reporters of hadith from who? Zuhri. They say Zuhri said. Sufyan Ibn Uyayna. He said, I didn't hear him say that too. I didn't hear Zuhri say that Abu Huraira said. Ma'amar ibn Rashid was the only person who said that that statement was from Zuhri, and Zuhri was saying that it was a statement of who? Abu Huraira. One. Ulama fi khalafanna. He contradicted others. So they say no. It is rather the statement of who? Az-Zuhri, and not the statement of who? Abu Huraira. Okay. If it is a statement of Abu Huraira, it means that it is mawkuf lahu hukm al-rafa. It is a statement of Abu Huraira, but it has a ruling of a statement from the Prophet. Why? Because it was telling us something that happened during the time of the Prophet. The messenger said this, therefore people started to do this. It's ended. But if it is a statement of Zuhri, Zuhri was a tabi'i. A tabi'i telling us, ma rawahu tabi'i marfu'an. That is the meaning of hadith mursal. If a tabi is telling us that during the time of Prophet, so thing happened, we will ask, who told you? Wal mursal laysa bi hujjah. Wal hadith mursal is not what? Hujjah. Ulama, they throw this statement, they say no. It is rejection. Because it's mursal of Zuhri. Not just mursal of Zuhri. Marasil, the marasil of Zuhri are wahiyat, karish, from the weakest of marasil. So in what it is affirmed that it's a statement of Zuhri, the fact that then people stop reading behind the Imam, you now know that it's a weak statement. The only statement you take is that of the Prophet Muhammad. Mani unaza'ul Quran, alayhi salatu. Why is it that people are contesting this recitation with me? In that case, we will say, it means both Suratul Fatiha and any other surah or Suratul Fatiha alone. But the rest of all the other ahadith, like Al-Imam Tirmidhi said, Other ahadith are there reported by Abu Hurairah that makes us understand that what we should recite is what? Al-Fatiha. What we should leave aside is what? Any other surah apart from Fatiha. So we should not make those reports to contradict. We should rather put them together. And putting them together makes us understand that we must recite surah Al-Fatiha. And then we must leave aside any other surah if it is in a salah where the imam is reading aloud. That is the second evidence that they brought. And it is the toughest. But the two things against it is that that statement is not a statement of who? Abu Hurairah. So it will be mursal wal mursal da'if. Ulamara says, hab. Take it. For the purposes of argument, that it is a statement of who? Abu Hurairah. What we will say it means is that the Prophet is preventing us from reading any other surah. What is he telling us to read? Fatiha. Jam'an bayna al-hadithain. By way of combining the two hadiths. I hope that this point is clear. That it's a third hadith. It is brief, so we'll quickly mention it. Inshallah. This hadith was also mentioned in Sifat Salat al-Nabi. It says also the hadith of Abu Hurairah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامِ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. The Imam has been made an Imam. He's been appointed. لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. So that he may be followed. فَإِذَا كَبَّرَ فَكَبِّرُ. You remember this hadith. So when he says Allahu Akbar, what should you say? You should say Allahu Akbar and follow him. وَإِذَا قَرَعَ فَأَنْسِتُوا. فَإِذَا قَرَعَ فَأَنْسِتُوا. When he's making kira'ah, what should you do? What does this mean now? وَإِذَا قَرَعَ فَأَنْسِتُوا. They say it means that anything that he's reading, you should keep quiet. Do we get this point? Ulama say no. This hadith, they say, وَهُوَ مَحْمُولٌ عَلَى مَا عَدَى الْفَاتِحَ. This hadith, we will understand it to mean, فَإِذَا قَرَعَ فَأَنْسِتُ وَإِذَا قَرَعَ فَأَنْسِتُ. When the imam is reading, you should be silent. Meaning that when he's reading any other thing apart from Fatiha, you should be what? You should be silent. They say that is the meaning of this hadith. If we agree that wa iza qara'a fa anfitu is sahih, and it is sahih, because others will say that it is not sahih. There are ulama who say it is not sahih, but I believe it is sahih from the hadith of Abu Hurairah, serving as a corroborating evidence for the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Fairness deserves us to agree that it is sahih, but it does not mean that when you are praying behind the imam, you should not recite anything at all. It rather means that you should recite, you may recite Surah, you should must recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And then after that Fatiha, then you keep quiet. This should be the way of connecting the hadith of this hadith, connecting the first hadith of Abu Hurairah, and connecting the first hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit. I hope that these points are clear. This is the strongest evidence that anybody will bring to say, when we perform salah behind the imam, we should not read anything. Bah, bah. We should keep silent. If the imam is reading aloud, we say no. That interpretation is faulty. What we should rather do is that we must recite Surah Al-Fatiha and keep quiet with respect to other surahs of the Quran. I think it is sufficient for us to stop here. So essentially what we try to do today is hear the other side of the story. And this is it that we have heard. These three are the strongest evidence. But everything that I have said, I have not come from it from faith. If you go to Tahqiqul Kalam, fi wujubil qira'ati khalf al-imam, like I said at the beginning in the last class, it's a very, very good book on this issue. This book I am holding. It was originally written in Urdu. It occurs in about 500 pages on this matter. It was originally written in Urdu, but it was translated to Arabic by Sheikh Wasiullah Abba, a great scholar of hadith in our time. He translated the book to Arabic. But the book was originally written in English, in Urdu Mazira. If a person compiles something like this in English, some brothers will say, oh, why? Because that is the language that everybody in their community can read. He said it at the beginning. He said the reason I'm writing this book in Urdu is because in our community, people are confused. So I must calm down. Yes, he was being very scholarly. He would quote what other scholars and say he was translating from Arabic to Urdu. What they have said. And then now somebody sat down and translated the entire book into Arabic. Sheikh Wasil Abba, a well-known scholar of Hadith from Makkah, from Medina, then Makkah. I think he has returned to either India or Pakistan now. Hafizahullah, because I've never heard that he passed away. He has very good work. Sheikh Wasil Abba, he has a book, Ilalul Hadith. Ilalul Hadith. Hidden defects in narration. A book in which he taught how to determine hidden defects in ahadith. He also has a tahqiq of Fada'il al-Sahaba, written by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. He has very good book, Sheikh Wasil Abba. He translated this book. Very good book. About every position and argument you will find in Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi, the Sheikh al-Albani was mentioning, you will find the answer in this book. So if you like to be objective with yourself, get it and get other things and do your own study. Let's see what you will come out with. May Allah make us see the truth and accept it to be the truth. May Allah make us people who will see error and mistakes and leave it as errors and mistakes. I think it will suffice for us to stop it. Ameen. So we hope that in our next class now we'll be more relaxed, because we'll be talking about Surah and the hukm of reading Surah after Suratul Fatiha. So we get it now that Suratul Fatiha is hukm in Arkan Salah. Even though the ulama say the person performing Salah behind the Imam is to read Suratul Fatiha, they say if he forgets or that he was even ignorant, somebody can ask, but we didn't know this ruling before. What about all the Salawah we had performed? Al-Lajna Da'ima, they say that the person has no blame. The one who forgot, or the one who did what? Who didn't know at all. But the one who remembers and refuses to recite it is sinning in the Salah. Performing Salah and then doing what? Committing a sin in the Salah. If he is praying alone, that rak'ah in which he is not reciting Surah Al-Fatiha is invalid. Let's assume one imam is leading Salah, not our own imam. One imam is reciting in Salah. After Allahu Akbar, Zikrul Istiftah, Al-Isti'aza. You just hear it. He just finished the memorization of the Quran. And I said, Sad, Wal-Quran is in Zikr. بل الذين كفروا في عزة وثقاق. And the people enjoyed the qira'ah. They didn't start shouting Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Let's mention a point here. If the people start saying Subhanallah, 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 and the Imam, you know the way our brothers are. They continue with the qira'ah. وَانْطَلَقَ مِنْهُمْ They continue to read the Quran. And you tell Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The Imam does not understand. You can say to him, go back to Surah Al-Fatiha. You can say it in Salah. Did you get that hadith, this point? You can say it in Salah. Ulama say, statements we make in Salah to correct the Salah, while we are in Salah, it does not invalidate the Salah. Sometimes the Imam makes one sajda. He sits down. He becomes confused. Should he stand up or make the second sajda? He does not want to make a third sajda. He does not also want to leave the sajda and stand up. If you quickly notice that other same moment you are confused, tell him one more sajda. He go on, he continues. Ulama said this a lot. When it comes to issues of such that we start, we will discuss them. I just mentioned it. So one imam is leading Salah. He starts reciting one surah. without reciting Suratullah. If the women are there, don't say brothers are there. If you, once you see that you have started making things, what will women be doing? They'll be clapping. What will men do? But all the clapping and subhanallah, the imam wants to finish Suratul Baqarah. What should we do? Recite Suratul Fath. You can tell him that. Then he will now stop that his Aman al-Rasul and then go back to Fath. May Allah protect us. So I hope that these points are clear, inshallah. Bismillah will continue with surah, other surah. What is the hukum of reciting after Fatiha any other surah in Salah? What is the ruling of reciting any other surah after Suratul Fatiha? We will take the time to take only two or three questions because of time. And we don't want like this to cut off here. Alaykum as-salam.
I now was confused and
said, if he said so, tell him. He does not break his salah. But the two of you, ulama said so. Alaykum salam. Okay, we come to that. We should discuss that before Surah. Someone comes to join the Salah. Going to sujood or ruku, you mean? You mean to say ruku? I got your question. He wants to say a person meets the Imam at the point Imam is going on ruku. He has not finished his own part. What should he do? Go with the Imam. Ulama say we should go with the imam because of the hadith of Abi Bakra. I think we should start from that in the next class before we talk about surah, because that ruling is also connected to Suratul Fatiha. Inshallah, we'll discuss the hadith of Abu Bakra or Abi Bakra in our next class. A companion of the Prophet Muhammad. His name is Abu Bakra, not Abu Bakrino. Bakra, there's Tau Margoto at the end. Abu Bakr, his companion, was moving quick so as to join the Salah. The Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam was on Rukur. So he made Takbir and then he went on Rukur. On that Rukur, he was moving to the front. Let's say this is a stop here. The companion came in from the door there. He made the Rukur there. And he started coming in front. I know go meet this one. He was coming. Radiallahu anhu. They have thrown here. Here. That is. What is here in your language? A strong craze is stronger than Z. Craze. So meet up with ZD. So he was coming. While on the Ruku. He was coming to the front to join the front row after the Salah. The Prophet Muhammad, he asked who did that. Said, I am the one messenger. And then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he say? Zadakallahu. That's why I said he has shirk. Zadakallahu shirkan wala ta'ud. May Allah increase your craze for goodness. Wala ta'ud. But don't come back to that again. Don't repeat that one again. How does it concern the ruling of reciting Surah Al-Fatiha? Ulama say he did not meet Surah Al-Fatiha. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not tell him to repeat the rak'ah. It means if a person is in, the imam is in ruku, and you miss the imam in ruku, even though you had not read Surah Al-Fatiha. You still have that rak'ah. Okay. What does it now mean when he says, فَلَا تَعُدْ مَتِبَبْ زَادَكَ اللَّهُ حِرْصًا. May Allah increase your craze for goodness. وَلَا تَعُدْ. But don't repeat it again. What does it mean that you should not repeat again? Inshallah, we'll discuss it in our next class. Believe me now. We start from there and then we come into the issues on reciting any other surah after surah to the Fatiha. The last question, cook. Alaykum salam. Now, Ba Halima. Takulu shay'an? Now. Ameen wa antum fa'izakum Allah. The command when the imam is reciting any other surah is to keep quiet. The command we have when the imam is reciting any other surah is to do what? To keep quiet. What is our Qur'an for our city? So we will be quoting those ahadith now. But if you came in when he has not started reciting any other surah, what will you do? Start your own fatiha. If you came in when the imam was reciting any other surah, what will you do? You listen to me. Because the command for the time when the imam is reciting any other surah, the command for that time is to do a song. I think this is from the side there. I have a friend that lives in Ilorin, works in the Shobo. He comes every Monday and goes back on Sunday. Is he entitled to traveler's prayer? Yes, he's entitled to traveler's prayer. 5 days, yes. 2 hours in the praying company. If 2 people are praying janaza, I think, janaza, jama'ah, and the 3rd person wants to join, how will he join? He will join on the other side, on the right side. The other one is on the right of imam, ko? The imam is on his left, so he will join on the left side. So that the 2 of them will be one on the right, one on the left. When the imam is moving forward, he pushes the 2 of them backwards and moves forward. I hope that the Imam Shokani discussed this in Adura Roli Bahia. I hope that we can go back to it, inshallah. I think it's sufficient for us to stop. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Beautiful afternoon. Amin. Babali Mamu.